Warning! This program will contain massive spoilers and profanity for absolutely everything we discuss. Consider yourself warned.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chilling Amongst the Mangoes. I'm CJ Welker. It's Gage Topolsky, and we have Zeev Noam with us. Gage, what the fuck?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah,
this is all my fault.
Welcome to the worst thing we've ever watched.
8 Crazy Nights.
Yeah.
Also, our 50th episode, you piece of shit.
Yep.
Happy Hanukkah. I'm sorry.
Gage did a hate crime this week.
I want you to know that usually, you know me, I'd like to think of myself as a very pleasant and understandable person who's very patient.
Yes.
I am pissed.
I know.
I am downright angry at you.
Okay.
At this.
I'm sorry.
Okay. As long as you're aware of
it. I am aware.
Okay.
This is the first time on Chilling Amongst the Mangoes that I think we need to punish somebody.
That's fair. That's fair. So I do going into this, I was fully aware that this was going to be a bad movie, and my hope was watching it for myself was going to be enough of a punishment. But even I can cop to the fact that that's not true.
It is not.
No.
No. I managed to avoid this movie for 20 years, Gage.
Yeah.
20 years of this not being a part of my life, which was very nice.
This is the 20th year anniversary of this movie.
Yes.
So, I had no idea what this movie was. I'd always just heard, never watch it.
Same.
Like, it's terrible. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Terrible is too nice of a word.
Mm-hmm.
I always assumed it was some kind of live action, like Seth Rogen-esque comedy that just went way too hard on Jewish jokes.
No.
Mm-hmm. That is not what this is.
No, none the slightest.
This is a Adam Sandler clusterfuck of what the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably mention, I don't know if anyone remembers the Hebrew Hammer episode listening to this.
I don't remember watching it.
You should watch it again. Good movie.
No, remember that was the initial plan.
But oh, yeah.
Because I was so fucked up on cold medicine and cough syrup last year.
Yeah.
That I was just in a fever dream for like a week straight.
I've got it on DVD. Come over sometime. We can watch it.
What?
I watch it every year.
Because it's
a good Hanukkah movie.
It is.
By default. Yeah.
Because there's this and 8 Crazy Nights. It's not a lot of a competition. But the point is...
Until next week.
Yep. But the point is that last year, Gage asked me, hey, do you want to review 8 Crazy Nights with us? And I said, I will do it, but first we have to watch the Hebrew Hammer. Yep.
And then Gage texted me and said, hey, I might have accidentally a hate crime. And I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Do I need to bring a shovel? Like, what's happening? And he told me, I'm like, oh. Usually you're an okay person.
I'm sorry. I'd like to take some of the heat off me. Yes, I know I deserve some of the anger, but I did not create this movie.
No, but you're the reason that we watched it.
That's fair. That's all I...
Oh, no, don't worry. I'm not mad at you because this movie exists. I am mad at you that we watched it.
Yeah. I know. Okay.
The bill has come due.
I know.
And now we are upset at it.
I understand.
We have overpaid for this.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you owe me $4.
Yeah. I'll Venmo it to you.
Venmo me along with the amount that we're going to split for pizza. So
you'll just
owe me $4 extra.
Okay. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Normally, I don't care about spending $4 to review a movie, even though we don't make any money on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that because this is a fun time. I cannot in good conscience allow myself to... I cannot have this on my bank statement.
Gage, do you want to explain what you did for Venmo with when you actually rented this movie?
We were watching it on my dad's account, and sometimes I'll he doesn't mind if I pay $4 to watch a movie, but sometimes
if I paid for anything on my parents' like Amazon Prime, like to watch something, I would get a call immediately from my mom, transfer me $5 instead of the $4 because you owe me for the hassle of having to tell you.
Anyway, I went to pay my dad, but instead of paying him $4, I paid him $8 because he was doing work in the other room, and he messages me back saying, "I will pay you $40 if you don't watch this movie within my peripheral vision."
The audience can't see. I'm nodding.
Yeah.
I felt guilty that my cats had to be subject to even the sounds of it. They were in a different room.
Yeah.
Like, usually Echo is, like, curled up on the couch with me while I'm watching a movie. Not last night.
Yeah. Can we get into this?
Wait. I have one last joke to make. We have stared at the abyss last night, and the abyss has stared back.
Yeah, that's very true.
Okay, I'm done. We can go.
Okay, so 8 Crazy Nights starts with narration by Rob Schneider. He plays the narrator and the Chinese waiter doing the most offensive Chinese accent I've ever heard.
And this is just the first couple of minutes of the movie.
The good thing about having glasses again is I can actually do the angry librarian stare at each for this entire episode.
Yeah. Anyway,
there's two of him right now, and it's making it worse. I'm putting those back up.
So we're introduced to, I don't even remember his name, let's just call him Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he looks like.
Yeah.
Is it bad that I remember his name?
It's
Davey, right?
Davey Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was the...
This is a early 2000s Adam Sandler movie. I will give credit where credit's due. He's not playing a mentally handicapped character.
Okay, that is fair.
No.
I will give the movie that.
Okay.
That and the animation.
Yeah, the animation. Yeah.
The animation's not only good, it's really great. The
animation is very reminiscent of the, like, what was it, 70s Hobbit
actual
movie?
No.
Iron Giant
is what it was actually a lot closer to. The 70s... Hobbit movie was rotoscope.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got people. Vibes of 70s.
No, the animation, Hobbit. Zeev even pointed this out before I looked it up.
I'm not an animation guy, that was the vibe that I got from it.
Yeah, I saw this movie, I thought it looked very much like Iron Giant.
No, and it did. Now that you're mentioning it, that's more accurate.
The team that animated this were all alumni from the Iron Giant. After, in the early 2000s, Warner Brothers, I think, they were the ones who produced that.
I can tell you.
They downsized their animation department, and Sony had headhunters pick up people who had been let go. So the animation style that they had learned in 99 for Iron Giant stuck around for this movie.
What the hell is this?
What?
Okay, that's exactly what I thought it was. No, apparently there's a thing coming out called Megan. And I'm like, why does this person look like a doll? And then
it's a doll.
Okay, it's a robot. It's a doll. Okay, yeah. Sorry. I thought a human being looked like a doll, but instead it's just a movie.
Yeah. So, did you find the...
I'm working on it. I got sidetracked by a human doll.
Okay. That looks creepy. That new... I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer.
I didn't watch the trailer. Literally just saw... Like, this is the first I've heard of this.
Okay.
It sounds like a horror movie. And
Warner Brothers.
Yeah. It sounds like a young girl version of the new Chucky movie.
Ah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But
there's a new Chucky movie?
Yeah. Not Chucky. Jeez, sorry. Chucky. Playtime. Not Chucky. What's the other one? The other doll that comes to life and kills people.
That's Chucky, dude. That's
no, there's
Chucky.
Another one.
Annabelle?
No. Fuck. Yeah, no, it was Chucky. Goddamn, my stupid mind. Yeah, no, it was the one with voiced by Luke Skywalker. By
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. Yeah, Mark Hamill did the.
I don't know why, but when you said voiced by, I'm like Gallagher. I don't know. He's always given me Chucky vibes.
Gallagher?
He passed away not too long ago.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Mark Hamill voiced Chucky.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was...
Mark Hamill voices everyone.
Yeah.
Really, I was surprised by that. I mean, I knew about the Joker, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get back to this.
Do we have to?
We do.
Yeah, no, do we have... Okay.
Okay, so we're introduced to him with an 11-second burp. He dines and dashes. He goes out drunk.
Yes,
to his
11
car.
Seconds, by the way. I
he
counted.
He counted.
Yeah.
The burp.
Oh, you counted. That,
yep.
That was, sounded like something Gage would have counted.
No, I
was too in shock. I was too in shock by
No, he goes out and he dry humps his own car.
He makes out with his own car. The cop stops him from driving.
The C-pillar.
The cop, one of the cop cries at this display of autoerotic love. And the.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. I hate you, but I will fist bump you for that.
All right. The waiter.
I hate you.
The waiter comes out, yells, "Hey, he dined and dashed. He, what were some of the other stupid lines? He did.
He sipped and slipped me.
Yeah,
something like that.
I was just like, but it's Rob Schneider doing." An offensive Chinese accent.
It's exactly as bad as you think, and then a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Rob Schneider.
Yep. Yeah. Adam runs away from
a talented man.
It runs away from the cops. He sings about how much of an asshole he is. The refrain is, "I hate love, I hate you, I hate me."
Okay, I have to say, I kind of in
like that. Okay.
It's not a good song.
No,
it's not good lyrics. Melody is cool.
Melody
is nice.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll give Adam Sandler is he does have a good ear for melody.
He does. Yeah. He's...
Everything else is...
I'm generally not a fan of his comedy or his movies. I will say there are a couple of rom-coms that he's made that I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
50 First Dates.
That's a good one.
Fuck.
Did you ever see...
The one with Jennifer Aniston. That was from like 2011.
I know which one you're talking about.
It was the one
I
where
can't
he
think about. Is it the one where they're like in a?
They go to Hawaii.
They're trying to solve like a murder or something.
No. That's a newer one.
Okay,
I'm talking about the one where they went to Hawaii because he was had to pretend to be divorced to marry the hot girl. It's a weird movie, but it's funny as hell.
No clue.
I'm not sure.
I mean, he's done the voices of Dracula in Hotel Transylvania. And
yeah.
Those are good, except
for
the third
second.
One.
I think he's a better, honestly, in my opinion, he's a better, like, regular actor than he is a comedy actor.
Yeah. There's this great movie that he is in called Funny People.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen that?
I've seen that,
It's good. It's like a deconstruction of his movies. It's a weird, like, it's told between a new stand-up comedian... meeting basically Adam Sandler playing a version of himself, trying to get his ex-wife back from a man he thinks that she is a terrible new husband, but he's actually like the nicest guy on the planet. But it's good. Yeah.
Give me a second. It's driving me crazy that I can't remember the name of this.
Like,
just go with it.
I remember that. I haven't seen it.
I don't think I've seen that, but I've heard that it came out.
It's got its moments where it's actually hysterical.
Okay.
Mostly to do with, and I forget his name, so I have to look it up real quick. Cast. Nick Swardson, who plays Eddie. A lot of his stuff in that is actually hysterical.
Okay.
That's also the movie where Dave Matthews picks up a coconut with his ass. It's a movie.
Sentences that you don't hear often.
It's.
I might be able to convince my dad to watch it if.
I enjoy that movie.
Okay.
Sorry. Also, Jack and Jill is a masterpiece. I can't even say that with a straight face.
I hate you for hearing that. For
right.
letting me
I
listen
hate
to that
you,
sentence.
I hate me. I hate love.
No.
At the end of the
it's
song...
It's a good melody, though!
It's a good song.
Yeah.
It's a good melody. At the end of the song, he crashes... He hijacks a snowmobile and crashes into the giant ice Santa Claus, which crashes into the giant ice menorah. At court, he is...
This is the most dead inside I've ever seen Zeev.
Yeah.
I... I have a rant about this movie, and we will get to it,
get
I promise.
We'll get to the point when we get to
we
it.
We will get to this.
So at the court, he farts, then an old man named Whitey Duvall comes out, who's also voiced by Sandler.
But it's really high-pitched and kind of old like this.
Please don't.
Don't, God. God, I got chills up my spine, man.
I'm sorry, was that too accurate?
Yes.
A little bit,
it
yeah.
was.
Yeah,
it
I want like, you to know I didn't practice at all. That was just off
like
the cuff.
If it was a little sharper, then
it needs to be
really,
a little bit sharper, yeah. And then have a little bit more of a accent.
So
to it.
Here's the thing yeah. with his voice. At work, we have a lathe with a bearing bar that it's an older one, so it isn't as like stationary as proper ones. So if you're running a piece with a small enough diameter, it squeaks like hell and can be heard throughout the entire floor. Mm-hmm. That sound is about 2 octaves lower than what he's doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would sound about right.
So, okay.
He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to do this voice. No. This was all choices.
Yeah.
This whole movie was a choice.
Anyway, Whitey Duvall suggests to the judge, who is weirdly played. 1 minute. I thought this was weird. The judge is voiced by Norm Crosby.
Was he really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Norm Crosby, like, he was. He's done a lot, like, he's done a lot of comedies, but, like, he's also been around since...
Oh, shit, John Lovitz played Tom?
Yeah.
At the end?
Yeah.
For, like, 2 lines?
3 lines,
three
yes.
3 lines? What the fuck?
Yeah, no, there's some weirder ones. Tyra Banks voiced the Victoria's Secret gown.
I did know that.
Yeah, and what was the other one? Carl Weathers was in this. He voiced the talking GNC...
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The one who was totally checking out Tyra Banks.
Yeah, well, the gown. Yeah.
I can't differentiate.
It's.
I heard the voice, yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit, Tyra Banks.
Yeah. Anyway, Whitey Duvall says, hey, he used to be a basketball player when he was 8, so why doesn't he do community service to be a referee at the JCC? And then we're...
The judge, by the way, speaks only in exposition.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. He decides to agree with that. To that, instead of go to jail for 10 years, and the next scene, he walks into the locker room, and he sees Whitey Duvall's just ass just covered in white furry hair. He makes a joke. He burps. I pause it, and both me and Zeev go get alcohol.
That was the point where I realized that the 2 beers, 4 shots, and then half of another beer was not going to do shit for me.
No, I had...
It sobered me up so quickly.
I like whiskey now, because I got 2 fingers of whiskey, and like by the end of this movie, I was like, this has done nothing for me, and this movie is probably the cause of it.
This movie causes alcoholism.
I mean,
God,
I'm still kind of sad that you didn't have any hard ciders at your place.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, how dare you?
I thought we did.
You knew Zeev was coming.
I
over.
Know. I thought
you planned
we had.
It out.
I yeah. thought I had some in the basement.
Just so everybody knows, I was not invited to this soiree.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You live 30 minutes away.
Yeah, but I work until 6. And
okay.
On the other side of the city.
That's fair.
It's quicker for me to get to your house from where I work than it would have been to get here.
Okay.
We
should have
planned this better. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at him.
Okay.
I'm willing to take a lot of the responsibility.
No, you're going
to
take all of the responsibility.
No. My entire life, people will be like, no, it's Gage's fault. And I'll be like, okay, but like as a joke. But no, this time I'm standing my ground. I will take my share of the responsibility. I will take my share.
Okay.
Okay. In hindsight, I probably should have also asked, hey, let's get CJ involved.
Oh, no, I'm not even talking about that. That I actually don't care. I think it's a little bit bullshit, but, you know.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry?
I think it's bullshit in a funny way.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, I didn't know that you guys were watching it together until I got home, like, and then you text me, and I'm like, Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Now I feel bad.
I felt like a real Whitey Duvall.
Anyway, at the youth basketball court,
Gage's fault.
Yeah, probably.
It's Gage's fault that I made that reference.
Yeah. Right. There's a lot of...
How dare you make me do this?
Whitey Duvall runs back and forth on the court. One of his feet is larger than the other. And there's high-pitched Sandler sounds.
It very similar to the noise that turtles make when they fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. The deer in this movie...
And somehow a little more entertaining.
The deer in this movie...
No, the turtles are more entertaining.
I mean that... That's what I meant.
Okay.
The deer in this movie were voiced by Adam Sandler, and they sound like meerkats.
I don't want to talk about the deer.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to.
I don't want to talk. I don't, Gage.
You can gut punch me later.
I don't want to talk about the deer.
Anyway.
There are some things in this movie I will talk about.
Adam Sandler.
The deer.
Comes out on the court.
I don't blame you.
Accuses a fat kid of needing a bra. And then Sandler does his typical, like, rage shit.
He turns into he's just an 80s bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fat kid.
Like, even 90s bullies were, like, a little bit more refined than this.
Yeah. At this point, Whitey gets, like, freaks out a little bit, and he goes down, he falls, and he goes, "Oh, no, I'm having a seizure." And like
it's just a thing that happens. It's supposed to be funny. It ain't.
Decide to go to the mall.
Let's make fun of this horrible thing that's happening to it.
Yeah.
They decide to go to the mall, and then the only thing I'm thinking of for the rest of the movie:
product placement.
I was just thinking of How I Met Your Mother and the whole "Let's Go to the Mall" song.
I'm not a fan of that show.
Okay, we're going to talk about this, but not right now.
It's the better Friends.
Yeah. Yes, okay, yes, it is, but I'm not a fan of Friends either.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
Just saying, it's the better
it's
Friends.
It's fine. I don't follow it.
I need to ask you right now, what do you think of the finale?
Don't get me started.
Okay, fair enough.
Don't get me started. I loved the actual mother, and I have always thought that Robin's character was kind of a bitch.
I have opinions, but we'll talk about this off camera. off recording.
I was going to say, where's the camera?
Off recording, sorry.
Where's the camera? I got to suck in my gut.
Whitey passes through and he just names the stores in the mall.
And what you can buy
them. And what you can buy from them.
And he rhymes.
Yeah, and on top of this, they didn't get paid for this. That was the joke. They decided to put product placement for things that they weren't getting paid for. But you wouldn't know that unless you read an interview where he said, "No, we just put that stuff in." So it was literally, and so it comes to the point, to one point of a question that I had of who is this movie for? And it's for the people who made it.
Yeah.
We see the.
I hate you, Adam Sandler.
We see the fat boy in a Victoria's Secret trying on a bra. He cries and runs away.
I hate it.
Yeah, no, I did too.
Just hate it.
There's no reason for anything in this movie to exist.
Yeah. A mother and son go over and give donuts to Whitey. Adam Sandler is more of an asshole. He checks out the world's flattest ass. And like... Like, it's a flat animated ass, and, like I...
All of us are cringing internally.
Someone related, like, if you watch the original music video for I Like Big Butts and I Cannot Lie, you will be shocked by how not big the butts are.
In comparison to the Botox and the, actual, like, inflation that goes on today?
Well, not, like, I mean, even... Okay, even without, like, medical stuff...
People didn't used to do as many squats.
Fair enough, yeah. This is the first time...
Now, every single girl on Tinder that says that they go to the gym is only there to do fucking squats.
I mean, most of the guys who go there are only there to do crunches and curl-ups.
Don't you know? You've never been to a gym.
I've been to a gym. Anyway... this is the first time Whitey actually calls him on his assholishness and tells him that that woman, the mother of that kid, used to be an old girlfriend of Sandler's from middle school. They meet the mayor. There's going to be a Distinguished Citizens Award coming up soon. Whitey sings about wanting to get this this award at the All Star Banquet.
Oh my goodness! This...
The song is short, a rhyming couplet, which is the only reason why the three-breasted woman exists in this movie, because she is only seen when they can't come up with another rhyming couplet to finish a song.
Okay, so I completely spaced for like 2 seconds when that happened, because when the three-breasted woman comes up at the end of the movie, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Why is this here? It was set up?
It was set up.
It was not only set up, she's shown up again. She shows up again.
Yeah. At the end of the movie.
She shows up at the end of the movie.
Yeah. There's another one somewhere in the middle. She makes three appearances.
Oh, okay, I never noticed. I never noticed the one in the middle.
Okay, yeah.
I never noticed the first one. She was just at the end.
Like, she was at the banquet.
And that was just confusing for you, I bet.
Yeah. Oh, you know what it was? I think this was around the time that I started texting you, telling you to fuck off.
Yeah, that's fair.
And sending you stuff in the chat that we have that's just for terrible things that we find on the internet.
Yeah.
I have that muted.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Never look.
I'm never looking in there.
You've made the mistake once or twice and every time, but why did I do that?
Yep. Every time I go in there, it's just a big pile of regret, so I have it muted.
You know how the internet has a copy pasta that's just about how if you could fuck a Pokemon, it should be Vaporeon? I sent him something in vaguely related to that.
Zeev just took psychic damage from that information.
Yeah. The internet's a terrible place, and it should just go away.
Excuse me, I'm just gonna go on, like, the awe subreddit for a second.
No, go ahead.
Because I just need to...
I put something in the cute stuff. Chat earlier. If you haven't taken a look at that, take a look at it. It's adorable.
Let's see.
So after the song,
hang on. No. I need this.
No,
we
straight up need to take a break because I'm about to take psychic damage. No, I need another beer.
Okay.
Fuck this.
Okay.
Fuck this movie.
So after the song, Whitey drives Adam home. He acts like an asshole more. Admits to stealing some food. Whitey says, "I'm going to turn you in. You get out of this car right now. I don't like you. I don't like the fact that you stole that."
He stole peanut brittle.
Peanut brittle. Yeah.
What?
Peanut brittle. That's
peanut
what
brittle.
I said.
Okay.
Yeah. But he stopped right outside of Adam's. What do you call that?
RV.
RV.
Trailer.
Trailer.
Trailer. Yeah.
Tiny little trailer.
I keep missing my goddamn garbage.
But Whitey gets stuck in the snow, and some deer sounding like meerkats come out to save him, while Adam just sticks around inside and gets more drunk.
These deer are a problem.
Yes.
Yeah. We now.
And that's all we're going to say about it, right?
I'm sorry.
That's all we're going to say about it.
Okay.
We meet Eleanor.
That's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay.
Gage.
We meet Eleanor, who is Whitey's sister, who is also voiced by Adam.
This one's not as jarring,
but it's still...
It's less jarring, it's more offensive.
Yeah.
To just every woman in existence.
I mean, it's also just
anti-Semitic.
Just a blatant Jewish stereotype, which just hurts.
They also go out of their way to explain that they're not Jewish.
Yes. Yeah. Which is, I mean, I was going to save this towards the end of the movie.
My friend. This
got really uncomfortable when I realized that Whitey, who is not Jewish, is helping a Jewish person become better.
It's a white savior narrative.
Oh my god, his name is actually Whitey.
Yep.
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 This movie's original title was going to be David and Whitey, which was
No, don't even fucking finish that sentence.
They decided to change it to Eight Crazy Nights, as that was determined not PC enough. We haven't even gotten to the second time with the deer. Anyway, they both have mismatched feet. She plays the trombone. The next day, we learn that Whitey makes ends meet by working odd jobs around town. He goes to clean the porta potty.
Also, everyone is just mean in this movie.
Yeah. Like, there's not a... everyone's... In the whole plot of it is that...
Yeah, it's supposed to take place in 2002, but it feels like 2020.
Right?
Yeah. The whole plot of it is there's this one guy who's just an asshole to everyone, but we also see everyone is also an asshole.
So what makes him so different?
Like, there's two nice people, and it's Whitey and Jennifer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, like, it.
Yeah.
And Jennifer is still, like, pretty one-dimensional.
Yeah. Yeah. So while he's cleaning the porta potties, Adam comes out of it.
She's nice to actually is her son and Whitey. So is she a good person? We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, she's at least nice. That makes her so much better than everybody else in this movie.
Fair.
Yeah.
Adam comes out of a porta potty, then shoves him into a porta potty and pushes it down a hill. He climbs out covered in shit and then, Adam blasts him with water and flash freezes him. Time passes. The following night, deer come by later and lick him free.
I don't like the deer.
And one of them looks at the camera, winks, and smiles with a shit-covered smile.
I hate
it. It's literally a shit-eating
grin.
I hate it. I hate it so much. Why? Yeah. Why, Gage?
I don't know. This isn't my fault.
Yes, it is.
No. The fact that we watched this isn't my fault. Is my fault. But the fact that it exists, we cannot place
on me. But the fact that we're talking about it and we have to bring it up is your fault.
Gage, I have existed for 20 years without watching this movie.
We could have...
I've existed for so much longer than that without even realizing this movie is a concept.
I know.
I have survived this long. Without knowing that this was a thing.
You walked up to a Jewish man.
I sat him down because I wasn't sure how he'd take it. And
It does not change the fact that you asked a Jewish man to watch Eight Crazy Nights.
I don't regret it because if I hadn't, then I would have never learned about the Hebrew hammer.
Okay, that's fair.
Uh-huh. I don't remember that is Hebrew fair. Hammer.
Again.
All I remember is that Andy Dick does the Santa Claus to his own father. That's all I remember.
Again, come over. We'll watch it. Yeah. It's going to be great. I promise you.
Yeah.
I hate that I'm just getting over a cold now, so I don't even have that as an excuse.
We cut later to the basketball court where Whitey is giving notes on reffing the games. They get challenged by jerks. Whitey looks... they decide to be the... him and Whitey decide to be the skins, and
well, the other guys decide to be the shirts.
Yeah, Whitey looks like an albino Ewok.
Oh, don't forget about what the deal is.
Loser has to eat the fat, mentally handicapped gentleman's jockstrap.
He's the father of the fat kid who tried on the bra earlier.
Why are we making fun of?
Because it's 2002.
Well, just to be fair, that's kind of Adam Sandler's shtick from like 1990 to 2000.
I know, but it's horrible to watch.
It is. It's the reason I hate everything that Adam Sandler has done until like 2010.
So fair enough. It wasn't until I saw like the old man gets hit in the face with the basketball and goes out. So Adam plays with the little kid and they eventually beat the jerks, and one of the jerks is eating the jockstrap. And this is when I realized that 9/11 is the reason comedy became this. And I was like, and it just hit me, and I looked at Zeev and he was like, yeah, that makes sense. And now allow me to elaborate.
Please don't. Let's just skip right past this. I don't... Just because you had an existential crisis about 9/11 in this movie does not mean that you have to
share
it with
me. It's not just this movie. It was the entire comedy focus of movies in the direct wake of 9/11.
Yeah, I know. It's the exact same thing that caused nu metal. Let's move on.
So the while driving home from the basketball court, the mother and Adam sing separately about how they used to be kids and in love. There's a transphobic joke when they couldn't find a rhyme. Yeah, I know. I hated this movie too. I suffered along with you guys.
It's still your fault.
I know. I can see.
That's the longest you have ever clipped the mic. Usually it's just a single cough and I can edit it out. I don't know what the fuck I can do with this.
I'm sorry. I hate this. Anyway.
We all do,
see,
buddy.
The thing is, I don't think you just hate this. You also hate that you know deep down that this is your fault.
Yes, I am. I have never denied that this isn't my fault.
Okay. You also have to take responsibility for the fact that this happens to end up being our 50th episode, and I am pissed about that.
I am sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So initially, we had discussed our 50th episode being something that we both really, really liked, or something that one of us liked and the other hadn't seen.
Yes.
That's not what happened.
No. I'm sorry. What the hell? What else can I say? I'm sorry!
Zeev, are there any, like, really, really wholesome movies that you like that we can watch after, like, at some point?
Trying to think. I mean, this movie has invaded my mind for the last day, so give me a little bit of time to think about it.
Anyway, Adam gets home, but he sees that his house is being burnt down.
By Jockstrap Man, with the jockstrap still in his mouth.
Yeah.
Mm. Why hasn't he spit it out?
I don't know. Because we... I don't know. Isn't anyway.
Because funny brick joke.
Yeah. Anyway.
A quote unquote funny.
Yeah. Anyway, he decides to stay at Whitey's home.
I'm taking my glasses off so I no longer have to stare at the IMDb screen with fucking screen caps of this movie going on.
Yeah.
I'm closing my laptop. There's no reason for me to have this.
Yeah, fair.
So, he gets to Whitey's home and we learn that Adam's parents are dead. Whitey sings about the rules of the house. The song is called Technical Foul. It's a bad song. Next day, they prank Ellie. She farts and has a seizure. And then later they go ice skating and Whitey is very good at ice skating. We get a story and flashback to Adam winning the big game in 89 at the JCC. And after his team wins, he learns that his parents are dead, and then he became an asshole. He was given a Hanukkah card from his parents, which he still hasn't opened to this day.
Pretty cliche.
Yeah. Also,
I will say they tried to put something resembling an emotional story into the movie.
Yeah, this is
that
also
being said, they did not succeed at all.
I mean, I don't think that it fit into this.
Oh, no, it didn't.
Yeah.
But they tried to put it in, so it's like, I don't know. They tried to put something nice into this.
This isn't the only movie he's been in where my parents died is the reason I'm such an asshole is the main plot, you're right. of his movies.
No, that's like, yeah.
That's like at least a
It's either
fifth.
That or my mother is controlling me.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what's a movie that I really enjoyed? I decided to just look through my Netflix to decide on something
to watch after this.
Yeah, something much more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever seen Up in the Air? It's a George Clooney movie.
Yeah, it was weirdly sad.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I liked it too. I thought it was comforting in its own way. I mean, I know it was like a sad movie.
Yeah.
But
it was good.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Sorry. I needed to think of something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After his past is brought up, Adam lashes out at Whitey. He says, no one even knows you exist. No one cares about you. You're never going to be able to get an award at this banquet. He pulls off the wig from the sister. And then he goes somewhere else. Whitey and sister get ready for
the sister looked like a white minion.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
I know they said that she looked like something else, but all I saw was like an albino minion,
mm-hmm.
and it really upset me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They get
this
ready.
This whole movie
for,
upset me.
I mean, yeah, but this like, I don't know.
They get ready for the all-star banquet. The deer help them choose their clothing. Mm. Adam breaks into the mall to yell at the mother who isn't there because it's midnight and closed. And then the product placement mascots come to life and try to make him cry.
And
the point being,
the GNC sexually harasses Victoria's Secret because reasons. Why not?
Yeah. The whole point. The point of it is to let him get let out his pent up grief. But the song is about why aren't you crying? He then reads the card from his parents.
Motherfucker, cry, motherfucker, cry, cry, motherfucker, cry, motherfucker.
He reads the cards from his parents and has a moment of self-actualization. Now, I was looking at this and I was like, you know, like this is an actual thing that people who like have lost loved ones do if they have something of theirs, like a gift that's wrapped up. Like we see this, the best way I can say that this has been done is in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the way the Guardians does it, and like obviously it's going to be better than this, but just comparing and contrasting. He opens it after self-actualizing. Peter Quill realizes that he can trust other people, that he can actually reach out and believe in other people and work with them. And it's only after he saves the galaxy that he finds the strength to open it up and see what she left him. But here, it's his drunk delusions that are forcing him to open up the thing and cry instead of any actual character motivation on his part. At least that's how it's framed.
Are we trying to dissect an Adam Sandler character?
I'm not dissect. I'm just saying, like, there's a better, like, the okay. intention is there. Just, it's not good.
I need everybody to know I've died inside and become an NPR. I've just become NPR. I have nothing. I've got nothing in the tank. I'm dead. I'm dead. And I've
all right. The cops come in. They find him.
I've checked out for.
They try to arrest him. He does some kung fu and handcuffs them to each other. There's a gay joke.
I forgot about that.
This is this we watch. We
okay. So this movie is obviously a hate crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just against everyone?
I think so.
Just against humanity itself.
Yeah. We see the All-Star Banquet. There's only two Jewish... The mother and son are the only two Jewish people in the building.
Okay, I have
but
to...
That's
sorry.
When you yell.
I have to talk about this.
Go ahead, Zeev.
This is not a Hanukkah movie. I just have to get this out there.
No,
this is not a Hanukkah movie. No. Let me talk about this. I mean, everywhere you go in this movie, you see like wreaths and Christmas trees, and there's a freaking ice Santa. And like, there is no real like talk about it being Hanukkah or like what Hanukkah means to anybody or anything like that. You replace every single word, every single time Hanukkah is mentioned with the word Christmas, nothing changes.
Yep.
This is just it's another movie that they say is a Hanukkah special, but it's not. It's a Christmas thing. And this gave me this is an issue that I had with a lot of Hanukkah specials, because most of them are not Hanukkah specials. Most of them are just Christmas specials that just have Hanukkah attached to it.
IEC next week's episode.
Well, yes. We're not sure about that.
We're
pretty sure, but like at least this is going to be the first.
Hey,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, but this is like there's a very select few movies that are like or select few things that are really just about Hanukkah.
Hmm.
And this very much gave me an existential crisis last year because I was going to watch a bunch of Hanukkah specials to get ready for it, and then everyone that I saw, I realized, oh. Okay, this is attached to Christmas. Oh, okay, this is attached to Christmas. Oh my goodness, no one cares about Hanukkah. No one cares about Jewish people.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I got sad.
Yeah.
We care.
I know.
We're getting angry about this with you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We like inclusion.
Thank you.
We also hate Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's true.
But then
there was a Hanukkah connection.
Adam gets on a bus to New York. We cut to the mayor who tells a bad joke. Everyone loses their minds. I wrote 9/11 caused this. You're not going to let me go into that.
I refuse to allow
that's
this.
That's fine.
What was it like? a week, 2 weeks ago, there was an episode recently where we got into it, and I cannot allow this to happen again.
That's fine.
It's not happening.
Okay. Understandable.
Understandable.
Not in any podcast I'm a part of is that allowed to be discussed ever again.
Okay, fair enough. As Adam is leaving, one thumbtack pops 8 tires.
Okay, I have... Okay.
No. I need to.
Both of you.
Oh my god, I just realized that.
Yep.
The oil was only supposed to last one night, but instead it popped 8 tires.
Yep. This was the comparison to the miracle of Hanukkah.
Okay.
This hurt me, man.
Okay.
This hurt.
Okay.
This is not okay.
So we were angry about the same thing, but for much different reasons.
Okay.
I was angry about it for car-related reasons, right? And now I understand. I completely missed that line. I apologize. We are angry about the same thing for very different reasons, but I'm on your side.
Thank you.
When that happened and he pointed that out, we just broke down.
We lost it. We finally lost it.
There was only one thumbtack, and it popped 8 tires!
You just went so deeply into cork pop, I wasn't sure what was happening.
Kill me!
Again, I don't know if that's you or a character. No, I was mad because... a single thumbtack popping 8 tires. Let's remove the Hanukkah connection from it.
Okay.
Is fucking bullshit anyway, because what the fuck?
That's dumb too.
Just, yeah. I think I was so hung up being upset about the fact that they said that a thumbtack popped even more than one tire.
Like, how does that even work?
Worst case scenario, that thing gets lodged up in the tread of one and it causes a slow leak. It's not immediately popping any tires.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Second of all, after Adam Sandler leaves, the guy's just like, yeah, I'll have this fixed in 30 minutes. Like, with fucking what? Are you going to magically create a scissor lift underneath it and then use the fucking force to take all the wheels off? It's snowing there. That leaves me to believe that those lug nuts are not coming off easily and I'm upset. I'm sorry. This is the non-religious car guy that's upset about something that he should be upset about for a very different reason.
Yeah.
But just did not catch that.
Yeah, no,
this hurts. And I kind of feel like an asshole. That as soon as I said that and you spoke up, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
God.
Yep.
And,
I didn't even catch the reference.
This is what we fought the Greeks for.
And I think that's the episode.
Yep. Thanks for watching, guys.
Watching.
Thanks for listening.
I'm sorry. There is still more. He takes this as the sign from God, and he looks over at the giant ice sculpture menorah, and it's radiating light. And he goes over to the community center, and the deer go up to him, and he's like, okay, if I wedgie myself, will you let me talk to Whitey? And then he wedgies himself. Whitey doesn't get the award. John Lovitz does. So Whitey leaves.
As a billionaire with a hook for his hand that apparently he sometimes forgets to wipe with the correct arm.
Yeah.
I missed that line.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
No, it was literally part of the song where he's just like, okay, he just like stops the song for a second or in the middle of the song. He's just like, I wonder if he sometimes wipes with the wrong hand.
Oh, that's when we lost our minds.
Oh,
that's when we actually.
And then he just goes like, sometimes, yeah.
Anyway.
You missed that?
I missed that.
This is why we missed it. Adam comes in after Whitey leaves and sings about how good a person Whitey is. And he sings about what happened in the movie. And we hated this song so much because it was done... It was like a parody of a Jewish song. Like, it had that sound.
It, like, had that Jewish feel to it.
But it wasn't actual...
The, yeah.
It wasn't actually music from any... particular song.
I admittedly do not have the biggest frame of reference here.
Fair.
To me, it just sounded vaguely like something you'd find in an opera.
Okay.
That, okay. No, again, I don't have the frame of reference That obviously you do, Zeev.
Yeah.
But I'm that's the vibe I got. I didn't catch that. But I'm most likely you guys are most likely correct that it's just
that everyone was dancing the horror.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm. Then everyone just decides to dance the horror.
So we I have a
God, what the fuck was it that they were chanting? Because it was the dumbest shit ever.
Bum-bidi-dum-bidi-dum. Yeah, sounds like that.
So I have a skip 10 seconds at forward button on my remote, and we press that.
Wait, we're allowed to do that?
No, only for that one scene. That was the only scene we skipped over.
We pressed it twice.
The first
time it was the cop and the Chinese guy dancing.
Yes, no,
and then when we skipped it, everybody
was
dancing.
And we were just like, can't do this.
Okay, you do realize I get a two. I at some point in the future get a skip 20 seconds.
Yes.
Skip 10 seconds. Twice.
I consider this even because of the multiple times on this podcast where you say, "I'm sorry, I wasn't really paying attention."
Sorry, what was that? I got really like. I was staring at the corner of your iPad, and I got, like, really lost. What were we talking about?
Seriously?
No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Anyway, after they
just looked over, and you're staring at me. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
After
continue to pod.
After the dance, it cuts to Whitey. He goes to the mall to feel better. He prays like he's in a church. And then Adam appears and apologizes, and the town gives him the Distinguished Citizen Award. They hug, there's a happy ending, and then the happiness causes a seizure, and it closes out, and then they start singing the Hanukkah song from SNL.
Would you believe that this whole movie was an hour and 16 minutes?
I do wanted to say, if we had taken longer to get through this, I would have literally screamed into the abyss. We've officially talked about the movie longer than this movie actually ran.
How long have we went for?
54 minutes.
Oh, goodness.
We were good.
And there's going to be some editing. Cool. I actually felt sick, and I am a whiskey drinker now after watching this movie.
See, never would have pegged you for a whiskey drinker. I'm actually surprised that first of all, I'm surprised that anything is bad enough to create a whiskey drinker out of you. second of all, I'm surprised that there's a movie bad enough that four shots and three beers could not touch me.
Yeah. No, this movie is weirdly sobering. You have to watch it while drinking because you're not going to feel the effects of the alcohol.
I have something kind of upsetting to say.
Okay.
What if this movie is the only thing that it's good for is curing hangovers?
No.
Fuck.
No.
I think
it makes sense. It's greasy and horrible.
Just like Denny's. I can't shit too much on Denny's. That is my go-to hangover joint.
I go to Five Guys. It's expensive, but it's so good.
Dogtown. I've never in my life had Five Guys.
Really?
Never in my life.
Hmm.
I went there once, and there was a hair in my fries, and I haven't went there again.
If I was working there, I apologize.
You were working there?
I worked
at Five Guys?
I worked one summer directly out of high school.
That must have been your dream.
It was not. I never worked with the exact... They have the worst turnover rate of all time. I never worked with the same person twice except for my supervisor.
I believe that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
3 months.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I was also trying to be sarcastic, and I realized after the fact that my tone was not quite right.
Yeah,
I
now just, you've been dead inside.
I just can't. I've officially turned into NPR guy. Like, the past 3 weeks, I've just been kind of talking quieter, and I don't... No, what's happening?
You've been sick the last 3 weeks.
I've been sick, and now I'm just sick to my stomach.
Yeah, so
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah.
I was telling Gage last week, the week that I was actually like sick, I went through almost an entire bottle of cough syrup.
Oh,
because that's what I needed to be able to speak.
Wow,
I have to answer phones at work. And there were like 3 days last week that I had to literally just ask one of my coworkers, like, "Hey, can you just like answer the phones for me today?" Because I'm like, obviously, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Sounds, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, last
obviously I'm not going to be able to do it. Can you just answer the phones for me today?
Last week's episode was entirely built on his stage health. Wow. Like he sounded terrible.
And even then, like the back half of it, you can hear a steady decline, not of my voice, but of my energy.
Yeah, so this movie was just god awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's it's a hangover cure. It's offensive to everyone. And it's just the worst. And I think we have a new worst movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to do accolades. This movie deserves none of it.
No, this is the one movie that we've ever reviewed that I'm going to say no accolades. This is the one movie that I think we're both turning the key for the nuclear launch.
Yeah.
Just nuke this fucking thing into oblivion.
So
does not deserve to exist. Wipe it from the face of the internet. Hackers, we need you.
This movie... QAnon,
do one good thing in your fucking life.
This movie...
Also, if QAnon is watching this, I'm bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie won one award.
Yeah, we have some
very
hot takes. For them, would be very, very hot takes.
Yeah. Mm.
This movie won one award. It was a Razzie. It was the third ever animated movie to get a Razzie, and the only reason it didn't win Worst Movie at the Razzies was because Freddy Got Fingered came out the same year.
Okay, yeah, no, that tracks.
Yeah, and that swept the Razzies.
Yeah. I mean, that movie was purpose-built to, like, sweep through the Razzies.
It's a weird paradox. I'd never, ever want to watch it.
No.
Yep.
I don't want to ever watch it again.
All right. To wrap up, you want to talk about what we're doing next week instead of accolades?
Gage
did a bad, and then I turned around and I did a sort of bad. I did a quarter bad.
Quarter bad. Yep. It's okay. A quarter bad.
And then I decided to just go for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It cannot be worse than this.
It can't.
It can't. You're okay. Right.
It's also can't be worse than the... Okay, so it's a movie, a made-for-TV movie on Hallmark Channel called Hanukkah on the Rye. And as we've discussed this in the past, the other Hanukkah movies made by Hallmark have just been Christmas movies with, like, a sprinkle of, hey, isn't this Jewish thing kind of weird?
Yeah, but the sprinkles have been red and green.
Yep. That's very much
this one is interesting because both of the leads are already Jewish, and they're two owners of two rival delis. So, and not only that, but the poster is white and blue in comparison to all the billions of Hallmark movies in white, blue, white, red, and green. So, I like, it's gonna, I don't, it's not gonna be good, obviously.
Promise
nothing, but.
I mean, it can't be worse than this.
No, nothing can. Cannot.
Nothing can.
You showed it to me, and
unless Hallmark purposefully tanks it because Christmas cards sell a lot better than Hanukkah cards.
But they've been, but Hallmark's been trying to expand their reach recently. It's a business tactic to appeal to a wider audience than just white.
Yeah, but their
wasps.
Main demographic is white Catholic women.
Yes, and they've tried to expand that
with acting as bad as their movies have. That's not happening.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if the director has done anything other than a Hallmark movie, but it's just a list of white people in green and red sweaters.
That feels right.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's just their in-house director.
One of them, yes. He wrote for Jonas Brothers. She wrote. The director's a woman.
Sorry.
Why? I don't know. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing here.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, she was a writer for Third Rock from the Sun. That's not too bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 years. 2 years at Third Rock. Okay.
Huh.
So something. And writer assistant for 4 years on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay.
Mm.
I will tolerate it.
Okay.
Deborah.
So that's going to be next week.
So, no rating this year,
God,
right?
No, no, okay. Not on this one. We'll do it for Hanukkah on the Rye. We did. But this was...
I mean, raisin feels too high.
This was a Striga. This was a monster from the multiple planes.
The whatever the fuck conceived this movie was fucking killed, and this movie just crawled out.
Yeah.
Post-mortem.
Yeah.
It's just, this is, this deserves to be nuked.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have a wrecking ball? Because we need to talk about good shit.
Okay, yes. No, Ziv watched the first two episodes. As a palate cleanser, we watched the first two episodes of Andor. What are your thoughts on Andor, Ziv?
I thought it was very good. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say, first two episodes are a little bit on the slower side, because they did release the first three episodes all at once as kind of a set up what's going on and a little bit of a lead in to the actual story.
Yeah.
It's a very slow burn. It's Gage and I have talked at length on the podcast already about how much we've enjoyed Andor and how amazing it is.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to hearing the rest of your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I really like the feel of it. It feels like Star Wars before they really got self-referential, where they really kind of had like their own stories kind of going on. And I wasn't really sure how I felt I was going to feel about it originally, because I mean, Andor only really shows up in Rogue One. And
yeah, that's the only place he shows up.
Yeah.
And I even talked about this, I think, last week or two weeks ago.
I think so.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
About how I didn't give a shit about Cassian Andor in Rogue One.
Right.
And I'm like, why are they making a show about him? Like, I don't really give a shit.
I mean,
and after watching the entire first season of this, I'm like, no, I need more. I need more. I need more. I need more Cassian Andor. I need more Diego Luna as Cassian Andor. I need it now.
Yeah, no, this. Yeah, and I really like it. It feels very, for some reason, it feels very noirish to me, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely the farthest that they've branched out from the whole Western thing.
Yeah.
At least in live action.
Yeah. So it's cool. I'm looking forward to watching more. Other than that, I've also been playing God of War Ragnarok, and that's good.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah,
I haven't
really good.
Started it yet.
I highly recommend it. It's very good. I love the story in it.
Awesome.
Cool.
I've been listening to the audiobook of The Witcher Baptism of Fire.
Yay!
And while the beginning couple, like the beginning half was very slow, the second half I'm really loving.
Yeah.
Like,
so, Gage... I think I've talked at length on this podcast about how much I fucking love The Witcher.
Yes.
And how much I love the books, even with all of the wizard councils.
Yeah.
And how that's used as a narrative device. I enjoy that. I really like it. Especially because I love the politics of the world. And
Well, the politics are interesting, but when you're comparing that to the... Like, there's an entire half a chapter, which is just Geralt and his friends getting soup, making fish soup, while Geralt is, like, pouting in the corner.
Yeah!
Like, the vampire calls him out on his bullshit, and he's like...
Oh, you did meet Regis.
Yes, yeah, I love him.
Fucking... I told you!
I haven't gotten into them arguing... he just revealed himself to be a vampire, so I haven't got very far... But, like, him just looking at him being like, no, you're doing this just for yourself, and that's why you don't want anyone to come along. Now help me cook this fish.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Regis, I knew you would love Regis the second you met him. You just had to get to that point.
Yes.
Also, but,
I'm concerned about what's going to happen to the character of that elf from the Dryads. Melva? I think that's her name.
Oh, Melva?
Melva, yeah.
Okay.
I'm concerned that she's just going to become a plot device. She's been throwing up a lot lately, and it keeps calling attention to it and compared to anyone else. And I'm thinking, oh no, she's pregnant. That's going to become a thing, and then she's going to become another thing. Is that going to happen?
I can't give anything. Do you want me to give things
away? No, I'm going to read it myself. Just tell me that that it's not a character assassination, because it feels like a prelude to a character assassination.
There's no character assassination.
Good. Okay.
And actually, if anything, it helps build her character a little bit more towards the end.
Okay.
Granted, I believe it's Tower of Swallows that she has a bit more character growth and development and... It's a little bit more, just get through it.
Okay, I'll get through it.
She doesn't get assassinated.
Okay. Also, like, just a heads up, and this is
for Ziv.
Her
character doesn't get assassinated. No.
This is for Ziv. If you don't want to get into The Witcher, which one is the one with a bunch of short stories?
I do want to. I've just been busy.
I've... One of the books is just a series of short stories.
Are you lending these to me, or are you just throwing them on the table?
Oh, I'm just throwing them on the table.
Okay.
No, cool. These are limited edition. You cannot have them.
That's understandable.
Sword of Destiny and Last Wish.
The Last Wish is the first one. Sword of Destiny is the second one. They're both just compendiums of different short stories set in the Witcher world.
Okay.
I know Gage likes them more than the main saga.
I love short stories to begin with.
Yeah.
And he plays really well with all of those classic Grimm's fairy tales and different... Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what started The Witcher. It's like Polish versions of the Grimm's fairy tales.
Okay, cool.
And these are the books where Geralt is actually being a Witcher.
Yeah.
Where the main Witcher saga is more about Ciri than it is about Geralt, which is kind of the whole point. Mm-hmm. But before you get there, like, you have a whole, two compendiums full of short stories about Geralt being a Witcher.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're incredibly good.
Yeah.
Okay. I do agree with you that they are fucking amazing. Yeah. I happen to like the whole saga, including these.
I wish they adapted more of these shorter stories in the TV show. We got...
Get me started on the show. I have very mixed feelings about the show. Okay. I love it. I love the first season, even with its problems. The second season, I like, even with some of its problems. But the fact that they're getting... that Cavill is stepping away from playing The Witcher makes me very upset.
Yeah, you know what makes me more upset? DC is being flaky about him coming back as Superman. I'm just like, are you shitting me?
I mean, I thought they already said that he wasn't going to come back.
When did you read that?
I'm.
Oh, you're not up to date on the whole thing.
Okay.
No, they basically, they initially said, yeah, Cavill's signing back on with us. And now they're kind of like, I mean, yeah, you'll just have to wait and see.
Huh. Yeah, so.
I mean, honestly, given up on the DCEU.
Yeah, but
me too, but he as an actor likes doing characters that he likes.
Yeah.
Like, if he wants to be an actor for a character, he will do everything he can to be that character.
The reason that he played Geralt, that he even got the role as Geralt, is because he borderline trolled the showrunners when it was first announced that they were going to be adapting The Witcher into a Netflix show.
Oh, wow.
He fucking harassed them to become Geralt. It's amazing.
He went through a phone tree to find out who was in charge. He went around working with and around his agent to get this job.
Oh, yeah. He basically was just like, no, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. And just, look, he just fucking went for it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's stepping away makes me really scared, because
an actor leaving because of creative differences,
that's always an issue.
Well, yeah. So I'm assuming you don't know the entire story here.
I've gotten bits and pieces. I've mostly followed the Superman stuff,
right? So I'm mostly following the Witcher stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And taking Cavill out of the equation of the discussion here, just talking about the showrunner and the writers, from everything that I have seen, and everything that has been, like, insinuated and rumored, from the sounds of it, the writers actively dislike the source material.
Well, that's not good.
And are basically just trying to do their own thing, but set in the world, because the world is popular.
So, the same thing
happened. So, the only reason that seasons 1 and 2, at least, have been, in my opinion, good, has been because Cavill has literally been fighting tooth and nail to make sure that, like, certain things are done properly.
Yeah.
Granted, there's only so much he can do as an actor and not as, like, a writer.
Yeah.
But there's no reason why he should have to fight to have things be accurate to the source material.
Yeah.
The best that I, as a Witcher fan, can hope for is that season 4, which they've already announced and is for some reason going to be starring Liam Hemsworth. I will watch season 3. I'm probably never going to watch season 4. Mm. The best I can hope for as a Witcher fan is that at some point down the road, the Netflix show is canceled because nobody's fucking watching it anymore because the showrunners just have fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing damage control on Twitter recently and basically just reaffirming the fact that the fans are wrong.
Oh my God.
They've basically been calling the fans of the books, just being like, why don't you like this? It's so much better.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. The best I can hope for is that it gets canceled by Netflix and HBO picks up the rights.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, obviously HBO and Warner Brothers, mm-hmm. Cavill, there's no reason why he wouldn't be able to come back.
Yeah.
Especially because if somebody competent is creating the show,
mm-hmm.
they would work with Cavill because Cavill has a fucking encyclopedic knowledge of the books
yeah.
and the games.
Yeah. I just want him to play Superman, but like a Superman that I recognize too.
I want him to play Geralt, but a Geralt that I recognize.
Yeah. Well, we made ourselves sad again.
Ha! Yeah. Sad is better than angry.
Sad is better than angry.
Sad is better than angry.
What's something good? The Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. That's really good.
Yep, we did talk about that, but we can talk about it again
okay,
if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, no, that was very fun. I really loved it. It was very wholesome.
That was absolutely that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cosmo. Cosmo was great in that. I loved that they included.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Cosmo cameoed in the first and second one.
Yeah.
Really?
But she never talked.
I don't remember that.
She was just like, she was something.
Actually, I think she talked briefly in the second one.
She was in a cage by the collector.
Now I remember. So, okay.
Cosmo has been there. Okay. Good stuff.
I was still very happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So have you guys been following the insane? I have so much respect for the director, James Cameron, but he's been going like on the defensive.
I have not paid any attention to that. Okay. All right. I need to clarify something. Mm-hmm. I respect James Cameron's early work.
I do.
I do not respect anything he's made past 2000 since Titanic.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done anything special. He's been trying to push boundaries and sort of succeeding a little bit at the time, but then a year later it's just irrelevant again.
Yeah.
Avatar
is a weird movie being that it made so much money but left zero cultural impact.
Yeah, but the only reason it made so much money is because they continue to release it in theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, also, like
they won't stop just re-releasing it.
I mean, I feel like it did a lot, like with 3D back then. But that was back then. Yeah, no, yeah. That's why it made a lot of money back then.
Yeah,
because no one's really done a lot with 3D at the time that it really made it.
But that's the thing, unique. Nothing that he did in Avatar held up.
Oh no, not in the slightest.
Like, yeah, the new one looks like it took all the stuff he did there and modernized it, mm-hmm. but it's not going to hold up in another 11 years.
Oh, yeah, no.
Or
yeah.
12 years or 13 years or however long it's been.
It was all based on the gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When did Avatar come out? 2009?
2009.
14 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not going to hold up for it's not even going to hold up for another 4 or 5 years.
And that's why he's going so hard on the defensive, because he has staked his entire reputation.
Why can't he stake his entire reputation on the fact that he made Terminator and Terminator 2?
Because he ran that franchise into the ground.
Yeah, but he still made 1 and 2. Why can't he just be like, hey, remember that I did this?
He tried to do that. And he made remakes. And he made sequels. And he ran it into the ground.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure most of the remakes and sequels were studio. Because I'm pretty sure he only had a direct hand in the first and second.
He was a writer on a couple, on the third and fourth. But then you're right. You are correct.
Yeah.
He was...
The new ones are fully just corporate greed.
Yeah.
I cannot fault him for what's happened to the Terminator franchise.
Yeah.
He stepped down as director. It was his baby.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped down. He started just doing some writing. Those movies weren't as good,
mm-hmm.
like, at all. But then, like, he completely stepped away. I cannot fault him for that.
Yeah.
I like James Cameron as a director when he has something unique.
Yeah.
Like Terminator.
But... Now I think he thought he could like move into a soft retirement by working with Disney and just churning out the same movie every 14 years. But it's clear, like,
I mean, that's the thing. They shot 4 movies back to back.
Yeah. They
without even knowing
massive amounts in the theme park.
Yeah. But that's the thing, without knowing whether or not the second one was even going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, no, let's quadruple down.
Yeah.
and make four back to back, and we'll see how people like it.
Yeah.
14 years later, when people already are saying, yeah, it's Avatar was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine for the time.
When someone mentions Avatar, do you you think either the one with the blue cats or the good one?
Yeah.
And
you think, is it, are you talking about The Last Airbender, or are you talking about, you know, blue people for some reason?
Yeah. And then you go to YouTube and watch Sokka go, mushroom.
Yep. Secret tunnel.
I need to watch this
Secret
show.
Through
the map. Oh, no.
Oh, we're not going through the entire thing.
I need to watch the show again. It's a good, good show.
It is.
I got it for Christmas last year as a limited edition steelbook, all three seasons.
Ooh. Oh, that's good.
Like on Blu-ray.
Nice.
So I love it. I haven't opened it.
Ooh.
I refuse to open it. It's just, it's gorgeous. It's got Aang from the end of the third season, the finale, with the full Avatar state with like the rings around him. Fucking hell, it's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mark Hamill also voiced Ozai.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
It always, every single time I end up getting to the end of season one watching the show, and he's like, your uncle is a traitor, and your brother is a failure. I'm like, shit, that's Hamill!
Yeah.
Like, I always forget, and then just...
They built him up so well.
It's one of the best... It's one of the best villain build-ups I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Like, for the first half of the season, we only see him in shadow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we even, don't even
see... And it's so good.
And even then, like, he never speaks for the first season until the very end. He's just sitting there as a silhouette.
Yeah.
Like, silently, which is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
The second season, I don't think he ever speaks either. Maybe once or twice.
He speaks, but...
But it's always, like... Like a very, very small thing. And every single time it's just to set up like, no, he used to kick Zuko's ass.
Yeah.
It's a build-up, really, for
us. And then come the third season, and he's just in full force, and he is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's done so well. Yes. Not to mention, I mean, the character arc of, like, Azula and Zuko and everything, like, they did so many things so well.
They really did.
Yeah.
And I still stand by the fact that they tried to make Kylo Ren just knock off Prince Zuko. But worse.
But yeah, it was a really good show. Really loved it.
Well, we've talked about good things enough. So.
We have recovered.
Yeah, we need to do something.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our Discord is down below. We also have Instagram. You can go follow that. Link to our website will also be down below, where you can find links to all of our previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
If you could, take a couple of those, share them out to some friends, say, hey, Merry Christmas. Here's some dipshits to listen to.
Yep.
We'd really appreciate it. If you could give us some written reviews and 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts, that would be absolutely amazing. We'd really appreciate
it. It's the best way to get our name out there.
Yeah.
I enjoy talking with these guys a lot. They're interesting.
We enjoy talking with
you too. Yeah, we enjoy talking with you too. Usually I like talking with you
when
about
you like
things.
A movie.
Yeah, when you like the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't like something, when it's this, I just feel bad and then I get mad at Gage.
Fair enough.
Which is also fair.
Yeah.
I
hope that one day I can be in this. And I can be guested, and we actually watch something good.
Well, we have some plans in the future for
that.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Don't worry. There's going to be more Zeep. This is also the first time we've recorded in person.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So this is very fun.
Yeah.
I like
that.
I mean, we always have like good banter when we're playing D&D and stuff, but it's nice to be able to sit all in the same room.
It is. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
But Zeev will be returning next week.
Yay.
For something. Hopefully, yay.
Yeah.
I mean, yay that you're coming back.
Yeah. We already talked about it a little bit.
We already
Hanukkah
talked
on the
about
Rye.
It.
So let's see if they can reach.
Say it.
Good luck, Hallmark.
Let's see if Hallmark can reach the Jewish community.
Spoiler warning, they probably can't.
The waspiest channel on the planet, and that's comparing it to ABC.
Honestly, at least ABC. At least
they
Disney knows what they're doing as far as casting people that can act.
Yeah.
Hallmark doesn't try.
No,
they don't.
So that's just going to happen. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're not sticky now, please get sticky by next week, because we're going to need it.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, let's do this. I'm sorry.